Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
Every morning when I wake up, I see a man's penis I haven't asked to see.
This morning, I've had 37. This man sends me pictures of him doing handstands all the time. It's the ultimate disrespect. It's the ultimate thing of going, I think you're easy access and you're up for it.
That's a clip from the new BBC documentary called Emily Atack, Asking for It. I don't know if you watched it or got to see it last night. It's a really interesting documentary. It's the former Inbetweeners actress, and she talks, as you heard there in just that small clip of it, about her own experience of sexual harassment. And she talks about the details, the sexually explicit messages that she's received, that she regularly receives, and she talks about being harassed and flashed in the street as well. And it struck me watching it, do all women receive this now? Unwanted messages, commentary, even pictures, photographs, in whatever form it takes. I know from just my own experience, even after watching the documentary, I've had pictures sent to me on Instagram, not exactly as Emily described it, but certainly I know I've had photographs on Instagram from one person, one guy, topless photographs sent quite regularly, actually, from sort of the waist, the torso up. And I'd open the message and you'd see what it is and you'd delete it. I've opened messages. In fact, one that really struck me just last December, I think it was, or last year sometime. And it was a guy telling me that he had spotted me on a night out waiting for a taxi. And could tell me where I was waiting for the taxi in Dublin outside a Garda station, close to a Garda station, and that I was there with a guy, and I was there with a colleague from work. We were waiting to get a taxi. And while there might have been absolutely nothing to that, it's only when I told other colleagues or friends the story that it probably hit me that, you know, I actually was a bit spooked by that. Might have, as I said, could be nothing to it. It's just that when somebody maybe knows your where you were, can tell you your exact location. And I've had all sorts of messages sent to me privately, others on social media, on Twitter, on Threads, even to this particular show's page. They're still there, to the station's page, to my own as well. Comments under videos, and I actually usually never look at them, but a friend flagged it with me one day to say, have you spotted this? Like, have you read the comments? And when I did and I looked and I saw the extent of it, like they're horrible. Like, really nasty, very personal comments talking about me, my body, my appearance. Like, everything you can possibly imagine when I look at them. Has she put on weight? Also asks one commentator, which then, of course, naturally everybody has to chime in and give their opinion on that. And that then, of course, attracts a huge onslaught of further comments that come with it, all public there that you can see. And it's definitely got worse in the 2 years. There's no point in saying otherwise. Like, it has, absolutely. And I know I'm not the only one who receives this. Like, my colleagues receive it, colleagues in other stations, friends that I talk to. They certainly get it as well. I do wonder, do my male colleagues receive it in such a personal way? Is it as personal? I wouldn't want anyone, by the way. I certainly wouldn't want them to get this. But I've no issue with people telling me, they dislike the show, my style, my opinion, whatever. That's all fair game. But I think when it comes to your appearance and your body shape, how you wear your hair, what clothes I choose to wear, whatever it is, it takes a very, very different turn and it becomes exceptionally nasty. And I do want to say this because I know how this is going to be perceived today. It's not all from men. The comments I get typically on Twitter and public threads, probably 9 times out of 10, they are from men. But it's the messages that I receive privately, the private messages that I open in Instagram or Facebook Messenger from people that I don't know, that I'm not friends with, that I don't follow. 95% of the time, they are from women. So it's not an attack on men, not at all. I certainly, the bitchy messages that I receive, I would say the majority of them are from women. And look, maybe sometimes people will say, oh, sure, they could be from a bot account or something like that. But often I'll click into it and you'll see pictures then of that person who sent the message with their family and their children posing as well on holidays. And it's just, it's pretty incredible. So when I listened and watched the documentary, I thought to myself, so I've experienced it, so many others have experienced it, but I imagine you too have probably experienced this. Like, it's not just people, it's not just, you know, Emily or other people that have experienced this in the public eye. I'm sure this is much more common than people let on. And I haven't talked about it to this extent previously on the show. I've mentioned it from time to time, but I want to chat to people today about this. If you've received unwanted messages, comments, explicit photographs, whatever nature or form they take, from men or women, I want to chat to you on the programme today. I'd love to hear your stories. 1800 453 106 is the number if you want to get in contact. Mary Jane is with me on the line in Cork today. Mary Jane, is this something you've experienced?
Hi. Yes, it is. It is something I've experienced and, you know, have been experiencing, I suppose, for a number of years. This isn't like a new phenomena or anything like that. It's like something like, I suppose, at the moment, and I was talking to the girls in the office today about it, and I feel now like I'm nearly conditioned to it, that I just delete them or whatever. And the first time I remember it being quite upsetting. I suppose there's a couple of different things. I've experienced everything that you've experienced in terms of, like, you know, pictures of genitals. They're primarily from men, I have to say. I don't think I've ever really had anything too untoward from women. Comments about my appearance and stuff online, I suppose I put myself out there a little bit. I write a bit about beauty and things like that. So the personal comments on my personal appearance don't, like, affect me, if that makes sense. But I do find the penis pictures and the sexually aggressive comments sometimes are a bit, like, they're vile. Like, it's you know, it used to upset me, but I'm actually at a point now that I'm conditioned that I think, oh my God. And there are a number, and, like, you know, there are a number of prolific people that are kind of known online for doing it, and, you know, they're from different countries, and it used to be on Twitter. So I closed my Twitter and only can get messages now from people that I follow, but my Instagram is quite public. And to be honest with you, like, I don't have a profile the way that you have a profile. So I don't know how you cope with it. I write a beauty column. I talk a lot about beauty products, about beauty procedures. Mm. Like, there's nothing on my Instagram. I do talk a lot about body positivity. I get called fat a lot. I am plus size. That doesn't bother me. To me, like, it's a statement of fact. I understand that other people might find that really, really distressing. And I know my family sometimes see the comments and it upsets them. And my friends, like, I have one friend who goes absolutely mad every time she sees it. She's mm-hmm. like, how dare they, or whatever.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
I know.
That is actually, I would not like to be sitting in that person's head. I've had exactly the same thing as you. You know, I saw you in X, Y, and Z bar tonight. I loved your green dress, all that kind of stuff. So I've experienced a lot of what you've had, maybe on a smaller scale. But definitely, I know the documentary last night, you know, was talking specifically about pictures of people's genitals and their penis and things like that. And I've had people send me videos of themselves performing sex acts. And, like, there's a whole, I don't care what anyone does in their personal life, mm-hmm. you know, and I know that there is a whole world out there of consensual sexualized messaging, mm-hmm. and that's grand with
totally
me.
Totally different.
If I was
yeah.
consenting, you know, if it was my husband or, you know, your boyfriend or, you know, whatever. But, like, if, you know, I think it is a real form of sexual aggression to come into somebody's personal inbox or their email and to send those kind of pictures without being, you know, when they're unsolicited. That, you know, it's, I don't understand why somebody would do it. I can't, like, there's a lot of things that I can understand in life. You know, I can understand people finding me annoying. I can understand people saying, oh God, you're opinionated. I can understand people saying, mm-hmm. she loves herself, she tweets selfies. But I can't understand the psychology behind somebody performing a sex act on themselves, videoing it, probably reviewing it to make sure that their penis is, you know,
they're happy with
or,
this,
you know, whatever, or that they've got the right angle or the lighting is right. And can I just say, they never get the angle right and the lighting is never right. And there's always somebody's mom's floral duvet in the background. You know, it's never a professional kind of job or anything like that. And I know I'm laughing about it and I shouldn't be, but, like, you know, they've reviewed it, they've looked at it, they've decided that they're going to send it. And then they actually take the initiative and they hit the send button. Mm. So there's a whole process. This isn't like, you know...
It's not a quick decision, you know, that's taken. As you say, there's some time has been spent put into to thinking about this. And these are people that you don't know, Mary Jane. You know,
I would consider myself to be not sensitive about sexual content or anything like, but I don't want to see it in my inbox. Like, I don't want people sending me that kind of content or, you know, making kind of like overtly creepy sexual comments on things, because I'm not, that's not the space that I'm in. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm.
No,
and there are people that, you know, sell content and do all that kind of element of it and whatever, and that's fine, you know, because but even if you're selling content, if you're getting unsolicited stuff, it's just not okay.
No,
I don't get it, and you know, it is extremely distressing. And I look at my nieces, you know, who are younger than I am, coming up through kind of secondary school and college, and I'm thinking like, oh my God, you know, some of these guys need to be castrated. Like, what is wrong with them?
And what is it going to be like if this is where it's at in 2023? I mean, where are we going to be in 10 years' time?
100%. And the other side of it, Andrea, is that, like, what you're getting is, obviously, I feel now as a 40, almost 44-year-old woman, that I am desensitized to seeing things on the Twitter timeline, like, you know, genitals, you know, kind of sex acts that I wouldn't personally partake in or whatever. And I feel like I'm becoming desensitized to that. I just scroll on by. What is it going to be like for, you know, and I'm only seeing this now in recent years, but imagine being exposed to that kind of sexualization from such a young age. You know, it's like, you know, for kids can be on Instagram from 14, you know. And I remember my friend's daughter loves makeup and she joined Twitter, and I just messaged her mom and I said, look, Twitter is not the place for her. She's, you know, she's only 15. I was like, take her off Twitter, leave her on Instagram, take her off Twitter. Mm-hmm. Because I was afraid, and she was following me and commenting on things, and I was afraid then that all these creeps were going to like follow her and, you know.
I know, and it's what comes with it. And sometimes it's not even when it happens at the time, I find, with commentary, not necessarily photographs, but it's at the time, it doesn't, you don't even read into the extent of it. It's only in the aftermath, or often I find it's actually when you go to tell somebody else that you realise, oh, maybe I should have said that to somebody, or reported it, or, I don't know, flagged it with somebody, or, you know, deleted them or blocked them a bit earlier, when you realise, I suppose, the extent of it. Stay with us, Mary Jane, if you don't mind. Elaine is on the line too. Elaine, have you ever received unsolicited pictures or messages?
Yeah, definitely in the past. I think Snapchat in the past was a huge culprit. If you matched with somebody on Tinder, you know, you'd automatically then go to Snapchat, and come a certain time in the night, you'd get pictures or even videos sometimes, just out of the blue. Sometimes even like mid-conversation about something else, and it'd be totally fine. Like, there'd be no one would see any issue with it. Like, and you wouldn't even really talk about it then, you just brush it off. But if you say meet somebody on Tinder and then you get chatting to them, not really on Tinder, but then if you move to Snapchat, definitely they, well, not everyone now, but quite a few would move to to that stage very quickly. And if they didn't get any response back or anything out of you, then they'd just give up and then he wouldn't speak to you again. So not everybody though, but a large portion.
Yeah. Is it more widespread than people think, Elaine?
Definitely. Definitely. I wouldn't be surprised if every girl in this day and age has received one or more. It's really common and we don't talk about it. Young men seem to think it's okay, maybe because they don't get pulled up on it ever. So it's definitely something that we need to be teaching people as well not to be doing, rather than if you know they're already doing it, it's kind of hard to change the opinion, but really needs to be drumming it into young people that it's not okay.
Mary Jane, just on that, I suppose how widespread this is and the extent of it, you talked about getting photographs, they're male videos or pictures you've received. Yeah. But I mean, even from the commentary, because I don't want this to be perceived today that it's, you know, it's completely an attack on men. I talked about my own experience. No. I would say the majority of my private comments or the comments I receive actually tend to be more from women. Do you get that? Is it a mixed experience,
well,
demographic,
like,
gender?
Like, I suppose, comments on my appearance. I did have one person who was constantly just, and I blocked her, and then I was getting screenshots from people, and I was like, I actually don't care if she doesn't like my lips. I don't care if she thinks that I'm caked in makeup. Like, women kind of, I think when it's that instance, women will go for, you know, her voice annoys me. She doesn't write good reviews. She's this, she's that. Women will go for that kind of attack. And I think the COVID and the pandemic, and because everything was so focused online and people were spending more time online, I think people now have nearly lost their manners. Does that make sense?
I think people feel, in my view, people feel because they've become, everybody's nearly on social media, or people tend to be on some site or something, you know, whether it's Facebook or they're on Bebo or whatever, they're on something, Instagram, whatever it is, Twitter. And people are, I think, more used to giving their opinion now publicly, and they're happy to do that. And then they reckon everything's a free for all. They can say whatever they like to whoever they want.
I try not to bite back at people sometimes, but sometimes I'm thinking, listen, you're sitting a lot of the kind of anonymous thing, and you know, you'll have it more so maybe on Twitter than Facebook. I think people use Facebook maybe in a different way, but you know, you will have people that'll, you know, comment negatively on something, and they don't really realise that it's a human being behind the negative commentary and the, you know, and women are equally as bad as men. Although I do find the sexually aggressive stuff is definitely more for men. I mean, I've had to block one or two women.
It can certainly be all genders. Stay with us if you don't mind, Mary Jane and Elaine. There's lots of you getting in touch with us about this. More texts coming in. People getting in touch as well to say they're actually appalled to hear that myself and colleagues, other journalists that I know, have received these kind of comments, nasty messages on social media. Oh, absolutely. I would just say I just think personally it's probably got worse. In recent times.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Avant Money.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.
We're talking about the Emily Atack documentary on sexual harassment, Asking For It. It aired on BBC, the BBC doc last night. It's a fascinating watch. It's the former in-betweeners actress talking to viewers about the kind of stuff, the messages, the commentary, the pictures that she wakes up to every morning, unsolicited pictures, mainly from men, and the commentary and the sort of texts that she receives, and it's well worth watching. But I'm asking you today, have you ever received, I don't just necessarily mean explicit pictures or videos, but just unwanted commentary as well online, messages, texts from people you don't know? Is this, how common is this among people, men or women? I'm asking both all today. 53106 is the number. Laura is with us on the line. Laura, is it something you've experienced?
So I got an unsolicited picture, and it was actually via text message quite a number of years ago now from somebody that I actually knew. I had given no indication that I was interested in that sort of a way at all. And completely out of the blue, I got a picture of a certain part of his anatomy that I certainly didn't need to see. And it just, it was completely out of the blue. I thought he'd sent it to the wrong person, but as it turns out, he hadn't. I was completely flabbergasted at the time. But I think whenever you say that it's become normalised, I kind of think it has, because programmes, for example, like Naked Attraction, that are on TV now, it's become perfectly normal to get your bits out on television. It's really not normal.
Okay. So you think this is actually, in some way, fueled some of this?
I certainly do. Because I mean, you've got that Naked Attraction one is the one that springs to mind.
Yeah.
And you've got people in boxes, you know, revealing themselves bit by bit. So that I think it has normalised. It's not right, but I think it's normalised it. So I do think that people think that that's okay to do that now. And it's not.
Well, I suppose it's one thing to, you know, in the programme you're talking about, to do that where you yourself have chosen, you know, to...
100%.
Yeah,
100%.
To take part in that way. But in your case, Laura, it was different in that this was a picture, wasn't it, that you were sent?
It was, yeah.
And did you say...
someone that I knew quite well for quite a number of years.
And did you say, was it on a social media app that you received it,
it was a text message that came in. Yeah.
And what did you say to the person when you got it?
I looked at it and thought, oh no, I think
wrong person.
The wrong person. So I did say that. I did go back and say, I think you might have sent that to the wrong person. And he said, no, that was meant for you. And then I remember ringing him at the time and going, what are you doing? And he just said, oh, you know, I've admired you or been interested in you for years now. And I said, no, that's not okay. That's not all right.
Yeah. And when you said that, how was that received?
Well, he just sort of tried to laugh it off, but I didn't think it was particularly funny.
Yeah. And was there ever anything else after that, any further?
No, I think from my tone and from the conversation we had, I think that pretty much shut it down.
Mm, that put an end to it.
May I also add, this guy was married.
Okay, so that did put it didn't persist after that. But
no, it didn't. Not with this particular guy. He. I think my reaction to it was not the one that he had perhaps thought he might have got. He's obviously done this before and got, you know, maybe a favourable response, but he didn't get a favourable response from me.
Mm. I just wonder, has this got worse? Has it increased?
I think it's got worse. Yeah, I think it's got worse. You know, I know a number of friends that have used dating apps, and the first sort of conversations they have with, you know, certain people on those apps, you know, almost within the first couple of messages they send, they're asked for a picture, or in turn, they are sent a picture of the person they are talking to. You know, they're essentially not a photograph of their face. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, a lot of people think this is now normal, rather than, you know, maybe chatting to somebody on those apps and getting to know them. Almost the first interaction is, can you send me a pic?
Send me a pic.
Here's a pic.
Yeah.
And that's not okay. In my mind, it's not okay.
Yeah, no, look, and, you know, absolutely, you've your opinion on it, and you know how you felt when you received that message. That was...
I was flabbergasted, absolutely flabbergasted.
Unwanted, yeah.
Very unwanted, and very out of the blue, and, yeah. I think he'd done it before. I think it was a tactic that he had used before, and, as I say, perhaps got favourable results, and, wrong person.
I know, and you see, like, we have, you know, in terms of the legislation around the sharing of intimate images and all of that, but I suppose it's somewhat different when you receive messages and photographs.
Yeah, it's different if you ask for them, that's a different thing, but no, if it's just sent out of the blue, and as you say, I think it has become more normalised now, because, as I say, the interaction on the my friends that use the dating apps, I think, you know, within, as I say, the first couple of messages is, can you send me a pic or here's a pic? And that seems to have become the norm now. Not with everybody, obviously, but yeah, with quite a lot
but
of people.
But it seems to be more, absolutely, it certainly seems to be more prevalent, certainly a much more common experience anyway. Yeah. I thought it was interesting
very
to watch
so,
it.
Very much so, I think so, yeah.
In the documentary. Laura, listen, thank you for joining us today and sharing your experience with us.
Thank you very much.
Evie is with us too. Evie, what's your experience?
I remember the first time getting an unsolicited pic was when I was 17. I am now 35.
17.
So, yeah, I was 17 and I got an unsolicited photo. I don't think I know. In my kind of like amongst my closest friends, a lot of whom would be activists and things like that, I don't think I know one who hasn't had either a very explicit text or message online or haven't received graphic images. It's really, it's been a problem for a long time, but it's kind of, I suppose, with online dating apps and things like that, it just seems to be getting worse and worse. Okay. Unfortunately, the legislation, you know, is just not good enough. I mean, I was last year, you know, there was a webinar online last year that somebody decided to log on and flash, you know, we were basically cyber flashed. You know, I went to the Gardaí, spoke to detectives for hours and hours about it. And, you know, between taking the statements and everything, we were having conversation.
That's right. I remember this now, actually, when you mention it, Evie, I think, at the time. And so you think it has progressed or it's got significantly worse?
Oh, yeah. It's gotten, I mean, a lot worse over the years. And I think, you know, when a lot of the time online people, well, you know, they have a kind of this level of being anonymous. And sometimes I think that there's some sort of, you know, there's a thrill of sending these messages and these kind of images to people. You know, and sometimes they go, oh, it's only a joke. It's like, it's not funny. And it's incredibly triggering. I mean, that cyber flashing incident is still with me. And unfortunately, myself and the people who were in attendance are not going to get justice for this incident. Okay. So, you know,
so you think we need to strengthen the laws around the area?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, opposition TDs in 2020 put forward an amendment for the Harmful Communications Act, which I believe is the COCO's Law Act. That would have the amendment would have addressed the issue of cyber flashing, but then Helen McEntee said at the time that an amendment like that would make too much work for the Gardaí because what would have been suggested is that that they would have to be you know, kind of like proof of intent of harm and things like that, and that would apparently make the work too difficult for the Gardaí, which you know, it's kind of a ridiculous stance to take when this is such. I mean, it's happening to, I mean, we've seen it recently, it's happening to politicians as well.
That's right.
And, you know, even politicians in government, and why they are not, you know, and this has been going on for so long, why they haven't done anything by now is mind-boggling. Okay. The government, we're talking about amending the Post Office Act of 1951 to address the issue of cyber flashing. I mean, it's just, there's a patchwork of legislation
that's needed.
There's nothing solid. Well, and the detectives on the ground have said to me that the legislation is not good enough. And I will listen to them over the TDs.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Evie, listen, thank you for sharing your story with us today.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Avant Money.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.